I think I learned more, got more insight into you and your world from the story about Guy and the savages than almost anything else that you write in this book. Mm. Could you tell us that story?
Yes. My son and I were living in Brooklyn, and I had to go to Chicago to sing, and I think he was about 15.
Maya Angelou is telling one of the stories from her new book, The Heart of a Woman.
The day I was returning home from singing, John Killens called me and said...
This is a friend and a writer.
He is a friend and a great writer. Said, don't go home. Come straight to my house. Guy is all right. Well, I went to his house from the airport, and I found that morning, Guy had opened the door, and a gang of boys stood there, and the leader of the gang said, I understand you have hit my girlfriend. And Guy said, oh, no, he's always been very large. And he put his fist up and said, if I ever hit anybody with this, you don't have to say you understand, you think. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, this is just a matter of the woman scorned and so forth. The young man didn't know anything about what that meant, but he said, I will come back and see to you this afternoon.
This is the gang leader.
Yes. And Guy, arrogant and confident, scared, took all my butcher knives and laced them in the curtain and called his friend, John Chuck Killens, and said, bring your baseball bat and come over. Fortunately, Chuck Killens told his father, and John came and got Guy and took him back to his house, telling the woman who lived downstairs that if the savages return, tell them that his uncle came and got him. John Killens offered to drive us home with my bags. Guy said, no, let's walk. He said, I have to walk these streets. If I run once, they'll keep me running. And he was 15. I knew that the savages was a group so violent that a month or so before, they had actually killed a boy and then gone into the mortuary and stabbed his body some 30 times.
Vicious,
yeah. Crazy. So I thought all night. I couldn't run with my son and endanger his manhood. Mm-hmm. I could not do that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't put that on him.
You mean move, pack up,
yes.
Get out of the apartment?
No, because he would have disliked me for it. So then I called a friend of mine in New York, a musician, and asked him to bring me his piece, his pistol. And the next day, he brought it, and I went over to the housekeeper's house and paid her. And I asked where her granddaughter was, and she told me. I asked to see her, and she came. And I asked her where her fellow was, who was the head of the savages. And she said he was in the room, in her bedroom. She was 15. Mm-hmm. So I asked to speak to him. And when they all came out, I took the pistol out of my purse and I said, now, I know you're bad. I know the police are afraid of you. But I tell you this, if my son comes home with a black eye, I will come over here and I will blow away your grandmother, your mother, and that little baby crawling on the floor. Then I will go down to your house, Jerry, and I will take action against your mother, your father, and all the children. This is the only way I can protect my son. I will do it. Now, you see, Susan Stamberg, I don't know if I was bluffing or not.
Were you bluffing?
I don't know.
Oh, let me tell you how I felt reading this as a white middle-class woman.
Yeah.
I thought, good God, the woman is insane. She's braver than anybody I've ever heard of. What would I have done? I mean, a mother has to ask herself that.
Yeah.
And I would have gotten on the phone and called the police and been told, yeah, maybe we can do something, maybe we can't, and sat home and shook.
And died.
And maybe died.
Well, you know, we are in and have been in a battle since 1619, black Americans. And we have had to carry the battle into the arena of the opposition so that black Americans work in white folks' houses. Mm. White folks don't come and work in black folks' houses. So to go into somebody else's battleground is nothing new for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that I didn't see myself as brave, and I still don't. I see myself as doing the only thing I could do at the time.
But this whole idea, the thing that intrigued me so was the idea of taking matters into your own hands, that it was not a question of relying on the institutions to help you or take care of you.
Exactly. Very few black people have a history of successful reliance upon the institutions. I mean, today I have some of the trappings of security, but I keep my ties, my connections in the black community very, very solid. Anything ever happens to me, I will run to Harlem, wherever it is, Harlem, Houston,
mm-hmm.
Harlem, Oklahoma City, Harlem,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco. I will get to Harlem,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be at least with my people.
You don't have to do that anymore, or do you?
I have to. Machiavelli explains very well what to do with any leader. He said, you think of all the people, the masses, as being in a pit. Out of them will come a leader. What you do is you reach down and take that leader's hand and fling him onto the highest hill and build him a villa. He will forget the particular pressure of the pit, and he will cease his consistent, insistent protest. Now, of course, whenever you're ready, you can just thump the leader off because he has no connection.
So in that isolation, he becomes vulnerable.
Absolutely.
You will never let that happen to you.
Not as long as I have my sense.
Maya Angelou, the new fourth book in her autobiographical series is called The Heart of a Woman.